Hello and welcome to Parsha for Non-Revertans, where we spend up to 5 minutes discussing Parshas Hashavua, so you don't come to the table thinking, wait, what Parsha is it this week? We'll start with a brief recap of the Parsha and then move on to a short thought. I'm Esther Kurtz, your resident non-Revertan, and let's do this. Parshas Yisro starts with the eponymous Yisro showing up to Bnei Yisrael's camp. Brief reminder, he's Moshe's father-in-law, and he was coming after he heard about all the Nisim Hashem did. Yisro also brought along Moshe's wife and 2 sons. When Moshe heard Yisro was coming, he went out to greet him with a proper crowd and kavod. Yisro observed Moshe's going-ons and noted that Moshe was busy all day serving as judge for every dispute, big or small, for Bnei Yisrael. And Yisro told Moshe what every business coach tells a great but running ragged leader. You gotta delegate. And so Yisro suggested Moshe set up a system of judges for 10, 100, and 1,000 people, each judge dealing with their level and referring cases onward when difficulty necessitated it, thereby leaving Moshe with only the most difficult cases and freeing him up to teach Bnei Yisrael Torah. Ah, the elusive work-life balance modeled in the Torah. If only we all had the courage to listen to our in-laws. After suggesting this groundbreaking shift in leadership, Yisro returned to Midian, to which my husband says, when your shvarish starts giving advice, send him packing. 6 weeks after leaving Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael have almost reached that moment I know you're waiting for. They encamped at the foot of Har Sinai, Moshe went up to Shemayim, and Hashem gave him messages for Bnei Yisrael, among them that Bnei Yisrael will be Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Moshe did that, Bnei Yisrael listened and accepted, and Hashem followed up with telling Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael to prepare themselves because in 3 days, it's showtime. Come the third day, Har Sinai is where it's at. Thunder and lightning and smoke and a blowing shofar emanating from within. Bnei Yisrael are at the base of the mountain and they are trembling. Hashem called Moshe to the Har, as well as Aaron. No one else was allowed on pain of death. And then came the Aseres HaDibros straight from Hashem. You know this, but let's do a quick review. 1. Hashem is Hashem, the one that took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. 2. Don't worship any other gods. 3. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. 4. Keep Shabbos. 5. Honor mom and pops. 6. Don't kill. 7. No adultery. 8. Don't steal. 9. Don't bear false witness. And 10. Don't covet other people's stuffs. Bnei Yisrael were a bit traumatized by the full revelation of Hashem's glory, and they asked Moshe if he could be the go-between from then on between them and Hashem. Moshe says, fine. The parsha ends with 3 additional mitzvos. Don't create graven images, and regarding building a mizbeach, it shouldn't be made with iron tools, and it shouldn't have any steps. And so we close out the parsha containing our fundamentals. Let's move on to a quick vart. This vart is brought to you by Rav Shlomo Valba, and we'll actually pick up exactly where the parsha ends. A very basic question is asked. Bnei Yisrael just got the Torah, just received Aseres HaDibros. Why are these 3 mitzvos tacked on to the end of the parsha? What's its place and purpose? It just feels odd. Like, is it important or not so much so? To answer that, we'll go back a bit. We all know the Medrash that Hashem offered the Torah to other nations before Bnei Yisrael, and they all said, thanks, we'll pass, after Hashem answered the question of what's in the Torah with you can't steal, you can't kill, etc. Now, think about it for a second. Even if these nations rejected the Torah, they'd still be obligated in Shevet Mitzvos Bnei Noach, which include not stealing or killing. So what are they rejecting? Good question. No? And you're wondering why you hadn't considered that all along. Anywho, listen to what's up. A Bnei Noach, Lo Signov, and Lo Sertzach is not the same as a Torah-obligated one. For Bnei Noach, it's a simple, don't steal or kill. A Torah Lo Sertzach includes Malbim Pnei Chaveru Barabim, not embarrassing a friend publicly. It's a whole nother level and sensitivity than a Bnei Noach obligation. This is fully fleshed and nuanced and all-encompassing to develop the most exquisite being. Which brings us back to our original question. What's up with those 3 mitzvos at the end of the Parsha? Well, they are the Torah-sensitive versions of Gimel Averos Chamuros, the 3 cardinal sins, idolatry, killing, and adultery. Rashi says that not creating graven images refers to creating extra kruvim. It's not actually idols, it's avak avodah zarah. Not using metal to create a mizbeach is avak lasirsach. And metal steps would reveal a kohen's legs, which is a breach in sneis, which, if you continue down that vein, makes it avak gilei areos. And that's why those seemingly random mitzvos are there. They're not random at all. They're connected to the Gimel Averos Chamuros, the ones that are al-Yarog v'al-Yavar, with added sensitivity. There are likely many more answers to this question of why these three mitzvos and why here, but this is one, and I love the neat little bow it ties. Have a great Shabbos. See you next parsha. Don't forget to enter this week's raffle. All you gotta do is ask a question on this week's parsha, and you're good to go. No answer is needed. The form is in the show notes. And congrats to this past week's winner, Ruchi Spira. Questions or comments, or if you want to sponsor a prize, email me at emunah4nr@gmail.com. That's emunah4nr@gmail.com.